Well, if you have your Bibles, so I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew 28. You know, we have a business meeting tonight, so this is not really a sermon. I just want to share a little bit about what's on my heart about the church and for the church. And I want to ask you to participate with me tonight. And I don't want to just hear from any one age group. I'd like to hear from various age groups. So if you're a kid and you have an answer, I want you to feel free to shout it out, and no one's going to laugh at you or make fun of you for any answer, okay? If they do, they'll be in big trouble, okay? But I have a target here, and if you don't know what your target is, how do you know what to shoot for, okay? And so what for the church, you know, and if you shoot at a target, where are you shooting at the target? I mean, what are you aiming for? The bullseye, right? You're not aiming for over here. You're wanting to hit the bullseye. So what is the target, or what is the goal or the objective of a church? Okay? What is your objective, church? Okay? To win people to Christ. Baptisms, right? All right? So that's pretty much hitting the bullseye. Okay? Now, there are other goals and purposes for the church. Well, what are some of the goals and purposes for the church beyond baptisms? Okay, discipleship. Okay? All right, what else are some of the goals and objectives for the church? Okay, fellowship. We want to have good Christian fellowship, right? Good. Okay, what else? Objectives for the church? Mission, spread the gospel. Okay? Great Commission. Carry out the Great Commission. Okay, very good. What else? Growing, the church growing. Okay, growing how? Okay, growing in discipleship, growing in just knowledge. Okay, so we're going to have Bible study, knowledge. Anything else? Worship. Okay, we want to grow in worship. Very good. I was hoping somebody would say worship, because those are all objectives or goals of the church. And so we at least know what we're shooting for. Okay. Now, I'm going to hang this somewhere. Right here, there's a nail. Okay. There's one right there. Okay. Now, no playing that. I'm trying to just teach you, okay? There's also a little golf course on the backside. It's a lot more fun, but stay away from that, okay? So, if you have your Bibles, I just want you to turn to Matthew 28. And I want us to begin to think about what is our goal or objective for the church. You know, we have a lot of different goals and objectives for the church. Not one single person tonight said we want to have a nice lawn and nice maintenance on our lawn. Is that one of our goals? Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to ride up here and see a bunch of weeds and, you know, shrubbery's all grown up and all that kind of stuff. So that's one of our goals, right? Okay, how about the maintenance of our building? Do we want to have a building that is well maintained? That's one of the goals or objectives of our church. I mean, how would you like to come in? How would you feel if you came in next Sunday and like three of these sconces over here, light bulbs were blown out, and a couple over here, and like last Sunday our air conditioner was giving us a little trouble. Marvin fixed that thing though, didn't he? I mean, it's nice and cool in here. So, you know, those are some objectives. And I just want to tell you that sometimes churches make those things the main objectives of the church. And you just said, that's not our main objective. We just named the things that are... Now, some of you didn't speak up, and so maybe you were thinking, well, you know, I want to make sure the carpet's clean. Or I want to make sure that, you know, this is right, the lawn's good, or the, you know, the asphalt in the parking lot's not cracking. But truly and honestly, what sets us apart as a church is discipleship, is baptisms, discipleship, fellowship, worship, okay, those things. And so I want you to look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and I want you to begin to think about a pathway to discipleship, okay? Because if we just said that leading people to Christ and discipling them is our main objective, then how do we know if we're hitting the target or not? And I want you to just think, we're not going to talk about this out loud, but are we doing that? Are we hitting the target when it comes to as far as evangelism and discipleship? To be honest with you, when I was growing up, I never heard the word discipleship. Okay, I never heard the word church, hardly. I never heard the word Bible or Jesus. But when I got saved, I was 9 years old, and I got saved in the church of another denomination, but I went to the Baptist church not too long after that, and we had RAs on Wednesday nights, and I'm telling you, that's why I went to church, is because of RAs. We had this cool game we played, and y'all should try this sometime. We would get a kickball, but we wouldn't kick it. We would pretend like it was a baseball, and we would play baseball with a kickball. That's why I went to church. It was fun. I enjoyed it. We'd go on trips, and we'd have parties, and we'd have all kinds of fun things. Choir trips, we'd sing in the choir, and we would take choir trips, and all those things. We had a discipleship class on Sunday evenings. We had Sunday school. But as far as anyone ever just taking me under their wing and discipling me, that did not happen. We had nice classes. We had nice programs. But as far as a real mature Christian man or college student saying, hey, this is how you pray. This is how you read and study the Bible. This is how you share your faith. Now, some of that happened, but there was no pathway to discipleship. And so, you know, as far as being a disciple, it's taken a long, long, long time. And I wonder in what your experience was like in the church. You know, was there an older person, a parent, or somebody that discipled you from being a babe in Christ to being a mature Christian? Now, I think one of the issues in the church is we have a lot of baby Christians. We have a lot of people that are still eating milk or drinking milk and have never really progressed on to digesting the solid meat of the Word of God. And so what I want us to do is just think about for the next few minutes a pathway to discipleship. And Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples. Okay, that's the command that Jesus gave to his disciples right after he has been on the earth for 40 days post-resurrection, and he's about to ascend. The kids learned last week about the ascension. And so Jesus is about to ascend, and his last commanding words to his disciples, which you could say his last words to us, are go and make disciples. Now, there's two questions. One is, have you been made a disciple? Are you a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Now, he's telling his disciples, because he personally discipled them, he has led them along the way. They have been following him. Now, not all of them followed him the whole way. Judas Iscariot left him. Okay, he abandoned him. But 11 of those, and now they've added, at some point they're going to add Matthias. They've become followers. They've become disciples. Now, they weren't the only ones. There were other disciples. But he tells them, the last thing he says is, now that you are disciples, I command you to go and make more disciples. So the first question is, have you been discipled? And the second question is, have you discipled others? Because that's his command to us. And if we don't do what he commanded for us to do, then that's what we call sin. We are being disobedient. You know, that's what Paul said when he gave his testimony to Agrippa. He said, I stopped being disobedient. And when he became a follower of Christ, he stopped being disobedient. And so for you to say, well, no, I've never made a disciple. I've never discipled anyone else. Then you're disobedient. And so am I, if I'm not discipling others. And so those are the two questions. Have you been discipled? Are you discipling other people? because that's the command Jesus gave us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, he says of all nations. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he gives them more of a detailed plan. He says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other ends of the earth. And that was like, if you think about it, if you think about a bullseye, their bullseye was where they were, Jerusalem, make disciples. Now, I'm telling you this, we're going to Ohio in a few weeks, and the objective is to go up there and conduct baseball and softball clinics and help them with some projects around the church. We're going as missionaries, and we're going in the name of missions. And our objective, one of our great objectives, is to disciple people while we're there. And that's important. We should do that. We've been to Mexico. We're not going to Mexico this year, but we've been down there, and our objective has been to go down there and do vacation Bible schools and see kids, present kids with the gospel, preach in their church, and build projects and things like that in the name of missions, going and discipling. We call that the great, we say, well, we're fulfilling the Great Commission. We are a Great Commission church if we are reaching Ohio and Tijuana. But let me ask you this question. What sense does it make to go and disciple other people in other places if we're not a disciple-making church right here? Okay? If we're not discipling our converts, if Lily Bass does not get discipled in this church, what does that say about our church? If Maggie Claire and last week Ella and Sean Richardson, a grown-up man, if we don't disciple those people, what business do we have going other places in the name of missions or discipleship? I mean, listen, if we don't disciple our own children and our own teenagers and our own adults, what business do we have writing a check to the cooperative program so that discipleship can take place across the world? Now, I'm for the cooperative program. We're not going to stop giving. But isn't it a little hypocritical if we pretend that we're this great missions church, if we're not fulfilling the mission right here, and that we have grown-up adults and maybe even some senior adults who they've heard preaching over the years, but no one's ever actually taken them under their leadership and said, I want to disciple you. Now, so anyway, we have people at all levels, okay? Now, so this is the objective. Okay, what was the first thing that Jesus told his disciples? Let me go ahead and read the rest of the Great Commission. It says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Okay? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, so hang on. Now, the second thing, okay, there's a Great Commission, make disciples of all nations. The second thing is, you remember what Jesus first said to his disciples when he called Peter, James, and John out by the river, out by the Sea of Galilee? He called them to become his followers. And they were, I'm not sure they were even converted at the time. Maybe that was their conversion. But they are definitely, if they've been converted, they're just still baby Christians. Okay, they're baby followers of Christ, if they're followers at all at that time. I don't think they were. But this is what he said to them in Matthew 4:19. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, at that point, they were not fishers of men. But he said, if you'll come with me, and you'll follow me, listen to me, and learn from me, eventually you can be a fisher of men. Now, they had been fishers of fish. They knew what that meant, to be a fisher of fish. But this is the first time they've ever heard this term, I will make you fishers of men. And so the point was, he was going to take them from where they were, and he was going to develop them and teach them. He was going to what? Disciple them to become disciples, because in Matthew 4:19, they're not disciples. He's just given the call to discipleship. Okay? And then he's going to get them on the what? pathway to discipleship. But at that point, they were not disciples. They were potential disciples. And so, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Now, let's go to the very end of Matthew. And this is in Matthew 25, 23. Jesus is telling this story, he's telling this parable about the person who's been a faithful disciple, Matthew 25, 23, and his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And so, this is the objective, discipleship. To call a person through evangelism, through witnessing, through worship, through preaching, through teaching, to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Call them and say, now you come and you follow me. I mean, how many of us, I know y'all, don't get too spiritual now, because all of you would say, well, now I wouldn't say come follow me, I'd say come follow Jesus. Well, that's very good. But you know where Jesus is? Where did I tell the boys and girls Jesus was this morning? He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and you. And so who's his representative on this earth right now? You are. You're his representative. So you can say, well, I want you to follow Jesus. That's great. They need to follow Jesus. They should follow Jesus. But you're his representative. And so you need to be able to say, hey, come and follow me. Come and let me teach you. You know, that's not pride. That's not arrogance. That's not trying to take the place of Jesus. That's just discipleship. That's what discipleship is you come and you follow me, and I'll teach you and I'll show you how to read your Bible. I'll teach you how to pray. I'll teach you how to relate with other people in a godly way. I will teach you how to do all these things as a Christian, okay? Because you're the representative. I mean, how are they going to follow Jesus if they don't have somebody to teach them how to follow Jesus? And the best way you can teach a person how to follow Jesus is through example, is by giving them the right example to follow. I'm telling you this. Don't think for a minute that you're not having an impact on somebody's life. Because I promise you, there are people that are watching you. They're going to act like you act because you're acting the way you act. For no other reason, just because they're going to follow you. Okay? You set a good example, they'll follow your good example. But if you set a bad example, they'll follow that too. You're going to affect at least 3 or 4 people in this church, and you're not even going to know it. Probably more. And so, the objective is to take a person from follow me to the point where they're going to stand before the Father one day and they're going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me ask you this question, just based on how much you've discipled other people right now, and God's called you to be obedient to discipleship. He said, go therefore and make disciples. Will you hear the words from the Lord Jesus Christ, well done, good and faithful servant? You've been faithful. I mean, how many people are you discipling right now? How many people have you discipled? How many people will you disciple? Now, the third thing is this. This is a picture, and this is a verse I've mentioned before. It's 2 Timothy 2:2, and it says, Paul writing to Timothy, and this is what it ought to look like in the church, okay? And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. This is Paul, okay? He's saying, listen, you followed me. You've heard me say these things. I mean, you were watching when I was there at Cornelius' house and talking to Cornelius about the gospel. You were there when I was at the Jerusalem Council standing up for the conversion of the Gentiles. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust these to reliable people. In other words, Paul's saying, Timothy, I took the knowledge that I had. Now, I've passed it down to you. Now, you need to pass it down to them. And then he finishes by this saying this. He says, you've heard me say these things in the presence of many witnesses. Now, entrust these to reliable people who will be also qualified to teach others. Let me tell you what he's saying. Timothy, you are my disciple. You go make disciple makers. Okay? That's the objective. It's not for you just to be a disciple, but for you to be a disciple maker. All right? That's the goal of the church. Now, when you get a church where you got disciples discipling disciples who are discipling disciples, you have disciples discipling disciple makers. That's church, folks. No matter what else we do, if we don't do that, we're not doing church, because that's the heart of the church. That's the bullseye for the church. Because what's going to happen? If we have disciple-making disciples or disciple-making disciple-makers, can you imagine the impact on evangelism? Can you imagine how many people are going to come to faith? We're not going to see additional growth. We're going to see exponential growth. Okay? Because that's what discipleship is. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I'm afraid this is the problem in our churches today. I'm not just saying just this church, but in churches in general, this is the problem. And he writes to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you." Now, these are grown men and women. This is not the children's sermon. This is the adult sermon. "I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready." The Hebrews, whoever wrote Hebrews, said this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." Let me ask you this question. How skilled are you in using your Bible? I'm not talking about electronic Bible. I mean, anybody can Google it. Anybody can, you know, if I ask you to find the book of Habakkuk, could you find it? If I ask you to take me to the Great Commission, you ought to be able to take it because I just talked about it. How about if I said, show me the Sermon on the Mount. Show me the calling of the disciples. Could you find those places in your Bible? If I said, where's the Ten Commandments? Do you know where they are? If I said, let's all stand and recite the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, could you do it? Do you have any command or skill when it comes to your Bible? Because that's what part of spiritual maturity is. He says, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness because he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, so that's where we ought to be as a church. We ought to be in eating the word, not just the milk of the word. Now, some should be on milk. I mean, Lily should be on milk. Maggie Claire should be on milk. Some of our young people should be on milk. But some of these kids ought to be eating some solid food by now, right? I mean, they ought to be eating some meat. And certainly our adults, and certainly our deacons, and our deacons' wives ought to be eating some meat of the word. You understand? Amen? Y'all agree with that? Okay. Y'all just looking at me. No one's saying anything. Okay. But we ought to be eating the meat of the word. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 3:9 is our objective, for we are God's fellow workers. I like the word co-laborers. Okay? So the objective is for everybody here in the church to be a co-laborer in the gospel. Well, let me tell you what the problem really is. We're not discipling because we don't know what it looks like, and we don't have a pathway to discipleship. You know, it's real easy. I mean, Jesus said this. I'm going to go back up to the Great Commission. He said, go, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then this is what he said. This is what discipleship is. Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. All we got to do is look at Jesus. What did he teach his disciples? And we got to take that and start teaching other people with it. Now, all of you probably have read through the New Testament. You've read everything that Jesus taught his disciples. Now, all we got to do is take that and go and teach others. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to commit to praying for me as I make an attempt to create a discipleship path for our church. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back and I'm going to look at the life of Jesus. I'm going to say, what did he teach his disciples? And then we got to start doing that. You know, if it was humility that he taught them first, we got to teach humility. And whatever he taught, whatever the sequence was, whatever the lessons were, we got to start doing it in an organized fashion. And that's what discipleship looks like. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's not your fault. It all goes back to leadership. Okay? And if you haven't been led on a path of discipleship, I know that we got a lot of people here who are very knowledgeable of scriptures, very knowledgeable of the Bible, but it's different. It's different to be knowledgeable of scripture and to be a disciple maker. Okay, what does knowledge do? Knowledge puffs up. Okay? But love builds up. Okay? So it's more to discipleship than amassing a lot of brain power. Okay, it's taking a brother and a sister and saying, hey, let me help you. Let me walk with you. You know, someone said this morning, I don't know who it was, but they said, it's the word paraclete. You know what the word paraclete is? It's the word that is used for the Holy Spirit, and it literally means to come alongside another person. And that's what we need to do with discipleship. We need to be developing those kind of relationships where we come alongside people that are younger in the faith, and teaching them, but also having someone who's older in the faith, more mature in the faith, teaching us. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and God, I confess that I have not been a very good disciple maker, and I've not really even done a good job of this at all. And so I pray that you, in your mercy, would be patient with me and be patient with our church. And God, help us to get on the pathway to discipleship. Not one of us, not two of us, not 10 of us, but all of us, from the very youngest to the very oldest. In Jesus' name, amen.